On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Come Monday, it'll be alright.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Yes, it is. How are you, everybody? Welcome to the program. Sit a spell. Take your shoes off. Don't take your shoes off. It's not a good idea. Relax. I will take care of you for the next half hour. Can I get you an in-flight movie or something? You want a beverage? An alcoholic beverage? Yeah. I know my audience. Would you like a cocktail onion in your martini or perhaps an olive? How about a blue cheese stuffed olive, huh? I don't kid around. This is a big show. Would you like some cheese? Would you like some gruyere or some camembert? Something like that, or some fromage, which is cheese. Yeah, you listen to this show, it'll bind you up for weeks, because I'm going to feed you cheese. Well, so far I've been on the air for 2 minutes, and I haven't said a damn thing, so I think the course is set. I think you know what's going to happen. So thanks for stopping by, but don't go anywhere. This show is going to get incredible in just a few moments. All right, maybe a little more than a few moments, but it's coming. Well, I had a shocking experience late on Friday after I had recorded the program here. You know, we do this every weekday. I know. It's a mental problem. Don't worry about it. It's not your problem. Late Friday, I was... I have a beautiful little dog. A beautiful... not tiny, tiny, not large, but, no, a little less than medium. Beautiful, beautiful white dog. Wonderful dog. White dog, white dog. And, Shih Tzu poo. Oh my God, Ron, seriously, Shih Tzu poo. Yes. Yes, it was a Shih Tzu poo. Something happened that just turned my head in 1,000 different directions, just like The Exorcist, where the girl's little head spins around. Same thing happened to me. It's a true story.
And now it's time for one of Ron's funny stories. You could practically hear the quotes around funny, couldn't you?
All right, this really happened. I tell a lot of stories on this show. Very few of them are true at all. Trump told me how to do that. But this is absolutely true. This is a fact of nature. And I couldn't believe it. I have an adorable little dog that I share with my famille. Shih Tzu Poo, wonderful, beautiful dog. Yeah, go on.
Aww.
I know. Every time you look at this dog, that is exactly what you say.
Aww.
Yes. It's incredible. So here's what happened. I let the dog out to do duty poop, which is what we call it in the medical world, the duty poop thing. Some people call it number one and number two. I get confused because I forget the numerical meaning of these things. Some people call it poopy duty. Others duty poopy, whatever. It's the solid waste situation. So my dog goes outside, and I have a deck outside of my back door. And apparently it's a poop deck because that's where my dog poops. It's not a nautical term, poop deck. No, it's not. It's a term about dog excrement. So my dog, I can tell when my dog has to do the poop because there's a look in both her eyes and my eyes that says, uh-oh, go out and do the poop on the poop deck, my nautical little dog friend. So I open the door to the deck and the dog happily goes out, squats down on cue onto the deck, and starts to do three well-formed, beautifully landed, three little turds. Is that a nursery rhyme? Three little pigs. Oh, my God. You're right. Those, so close, though, huh? So the dog lays like some kind of freaked-up chicken. Three perfectly formed poops. Poops I could not have formed better myself had I tried, had they come out of me. Nicely formed, looked exactly like three little Tootsie Rolls, even with the segmentation involved. Beautifully landed, stuck the landing. Wonderful. So I start to call my dog inside, and I say, nice, good dog. The dog looks up at me, looks back at the three turds, obviously admiring the dog's wonderful, wonderful achievement. Turns around and starts, opens its mouth toward the third well-formed poop. Now, I've seen my dog do some disgusting stuff in my lifetime. Lick its own crotch is not one amongst them. If I could lick my own crotch, I wouldn't go out during the day. So that I don't mind. Humping legs, I have a female dog. It doesn't really work that way, but nonetheless, humping a leg, perfectly normal. I get it. There's pornography. Everybody reads it. Let's not kid ourselves. I don't mind that. I don't even mind a little lick of the turd, and that's an Irish term. Hey, lick of the turd to you. I don't mind that term. Anybody can turn around and lick their turd. I don't, but I understand people that do. I've seen some way out strange sex films. Oh, crazy sex films where they pee on themselves or they pee on other people and they consider this to be erotic. I don't know whether you're aware of this, but that happens. So, I mean, I kind of get it, and this is a dog. Okay, fine. So licking a little bit of a turd, now I get upset when I see that. It goes, oh, no, don't do that. Don't do that. Because you actually sometimes, dog, you kiss me, and you have turd breath, and that's not a good thing.
Aww.
No, it's not an awe. It's not an awe. So the dog turns around like it's going to lick this third beautifully formed turd. Mm-hmm. And I'm frantically saying from the comfort of my home out the deck door onto the poop deck, no, don't do it. The dog opens her mouth and in one fell swoop bite, opens her mouth and consumes the entire third turd. All didn't even chew it up, just consumed it in total and swallowed it. In one action, one move. I can't even do that. I can't even eat food that fast. My dog ate the turd. I freaked out.
Aww.
Oh, stop it with that. I freaked out, and I turned to my lovely magic assistant, and I said to her, "Oh my God, our dog just ate an entire turd like fast." And she said, "Well, you know, dogs do that." What? There are certain animals in the animal kingdom that eat their own excrement. They, you know, I don't know why. I personally not into that, but apparently they do that. But I didn't know that domestic dogs did that. Again, a little lick here, a little lick there, perfectly understandable. Maybe you're on lewds or shrooms or something, and you don't know what you're doing, and it looks like appetizing, like it's chocolate, which is bad for dogs, really. But my dog, and I was disappointed. I went through the whole evening and the whole next day and the whole weekend with a different attitude about my dog. My dog comes up on my bed every once in a while and sleeps a little bit with me, and I would not allow that. I cannot associate. There are two things I cannot associate with on this planet. One is Trump supporters, and the other is dogs eating turds. Same thing, actually. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding about the dogs eating turds. No, it's actually, that's what happened. And I don't know. And I started going online, which is where you go to figure things out, you know, and in our very difficult times or uncertain times, where do we go to figure things out? We go to the dark room with the little computer screen and we Google things. And I Googled, my dog ate a turd today. And the computer actually responded by saying, "So what? Dogs do that." I just never saw it. Then it came up with this list of animals that on a regular basis, like all the time, they eat their own excrement. There's a pre-chewed. Now, we have pre-chewed foods in our refried beans. Aren't they already eaten? Didn't someone already throw that up? Refried beans. They're not refried. They're regurgitated. Come on, look at them. Look at them on the plate. Who are you trying to kid with this refried crap? It's regurgitated. Chopped liver? So obvious, it's not funny. Somebody ate a liver, threw up. This is the response. And then they sell it for a very high price, by the way, mostly to Jewish people. Who you think would be smarter about that, you know? There are a lot of foods that look like they're regurgitated. Mashed potatoes. Somebody ate those potatoes. That's the way they came up. No, but they look tasty with a little butter. All right, whatever. But I didn't know, you know, dogs, oh man. So that just, that nooked my cranny. It threw me off. It threw me off. And the love and respect that I had for my little animal is, it's down the tubes. I love my dog. I still do, but I've lost a connection with my dog. I thought my dog was human. That's not a human thing to do that I believe is true. So then I went around to the malls, stopping people in the mall and saying, "Excuse me, I know I'm not supposed to approach you. I'm supposed to stay 6 feet away, but I got to ask you, did your dog ever eat an entire turd?" Well, I got slapped a lot. A lot of people slapped me in the face, even though they're not supposed to come that close to me. They didn't care. They came up and slapped me. They thought it was a come on line. Come on. What, are you kidding me? So now I've been asking friends and neighbors, not only for money and handouts, but I've also been asking them, did you ever see your dog eat an entire poop? And most of them say, yeah, what's your problem? My problem is that I live with this animal. Come on. But Ron, she's a dog. We're talking about the canine, right? Anyway, that's a true story. Is it funny? I don't know.
And that was another funny story from Ron. Wait, that was supposed to be funny? Wow.
Hey.
Here on the Ron Van Dam Show, our policy is anything goes.
Do not twist my nipples.
Okay, almost anything goes. You're listening to the Ron Van Dam Podcast.
Aren't you glad you're still listening, huh? Well, there's more. We're only half done. This is only half baked, I'm telling you. So I'm watching TV yesterday, and that in itself is not an amazing thing. I watch TV every day for now what is an ridiculously long amount of time. So I'm watching TV, and people on it, I don't remember what it was. I think it was it was some talk show or something. I think it was the Drew Barrymore show. Have you ever seen this program? Probably not. It's only been on for a few weeks. It's a new show. It's a new talk show. Drew Barrymore is really cute, but at the same time, what a horrible talk show host. Everything to her is super exciting. Grow up, Drew. Things right now are not super exciting. Everything is exciting to this girl. I mean, she's interviewing somebody. It's good to see you. We haven't seen you in a long time. Oh, that's right. I've been busy.
You've been busy? That's so fantastic. Oh, my God. That's wonderful. You've been busy. Oh, my God.
Yeah. So I took the limousine over to the show.
Oh, a limo. Oh, my God. I love limousines. Aren't they fantastic? They're so wonderful. You sit in the back and you get...
Drew, calm down. She's like a 24/7 cheerleader who gets excited about everything. I should tell her my dog poop story.
Oh, your dog pooped and ate it. Oh, that's so cool. It's so fun. Oh, I wish I could. Oh, that's wonderful. What a cute little dog.
Drew, stop it. Just stop it, Drew. I don't know if you're married right now, but I can't imagine anybody would live with you. So I think it was on her show. And somebody was, they were talking about some kind of chocolate dessert or something. I don't know the name of it, but some kind of chocolate dessert. And the celebrity chef says, Drew, you would love this chocolate dessert, which is obvious. Drew loves everything. You would love this chocolate dessert. It is to die for. Okay. I've heard that expression a lot. It is to die for. That's an odd expression. That is so much to the extreme, it's not funny.
Would you like to have my chocolate dessert?
Oh, I would love to have it.
Well, you're going to have to die for it.
Ooh, if I die for it, then I can't eat it. And also, that's a hell of a sacrifice. I mean, you know...
Jesus, do you want to save the people on the earth, save their spirits? Well, sure, I'd like to. I'm Jesus.
All right, here's the deal. You have to die for it. It's something you'd have to die for. You'd die for this.
Oh, I don't know.
You know, it's a horrible expression. It's horrible.
Yeah, I went into their home and they had an end table against the wall. It was made of walnut, like a cherry walnut end table. Oh, it was to die for.
Well, I'd like to have that table. You can kill me if you'd like.
It doesn't make sense. It's such an extreme expression that it sounds stupid as soon as you see it. They use this expression in the South with pies.
You got to go down to the diner. Ooh, they have a wonderful pie down there. It is the best cherry pie in all of the South, which is not saying a lot. And it's, that cherry pie, it just trickles down your throat, and it's nice and sweet and wonderful, and you put a little whipped cream on it. Oh, it is to die for.
Whoa. Must be good, but I'm not willing to die for that. No. Thinking about it, but don't want to die for that pie. It's so stupid. It's so stupid because you wouldn't die for a piece of pie. It's just no reason to do something like that.
Yeah, certain expressions just bother me. And I know I'm being picky. I know I'm a picky, picky guy. But every time I hear that expression, it drives me nuts. It's almost like the expression I talk about all the time when you're in the supermarket and they check you out and the cashier is there and you say, thank you very much. Have a nice day. Thank you very much. And then the cashier says, say the cashier, thank you. And the cashier responds by saying, no problem. Stop saying no problem. That is an expression to die for, which means if you say that expression again, you will die for it.
No problem.
Oh, no problem, huh? We have an interesting guest coming up on the program, and I hope you enjoy the guest as much as the guest is probably going to enjoy themselves. Are you comfortable? Do you want a neck pillow? You like neck pillows? They're fun, huh? They support your neck. They are to die for. They really are. They're very, very tasty.
Let others say that water is just water.
Aquamira.
Each bottle of Aquamira, all-natural, artisanal, gourmet lifestyle water, Aquamira, contains only the finest hand-selected waters, gently and sustainably culled from free-range, certified glacial streams in fair trade countries.
Aquamira.
Skillfully aged in stainless steel, cruelty-free tanks, and quintuple filtered according to age-old Nepalese watersmithing techniques.
Aquamira.
Each non-GMO serving of Aquamira all-natural artisanal gourmet lifestyle water is allergen-free, safe for use on pets, and contains zero trans fats.
Aquamira.
Yes, let others say that water is just water. For the true discerning connoisseur, there is only one. There is only
Aquamira.
Find Aquamira water in handy 42 packs in the beverage section of your local convenience store, liquor store, or gas station. Free bottle with every purchase of a Take This Job and Shove It lottery scratch-off ticket while supplies last. Aquamira all-natural gourmet lifestyle water is bottled by the overarching beverage conglomeration corporation, LLC.
Carl Brower joins us now. He's an automotive expert and executive analyst at icycars.com. I made up my own suffix to the internet. thanks for being with us, Carl. We're talking about automotive stuff in a virtual world as things get a little bit more technologically interesting. I understand you're in a place that's quite fascinating that I cannot see.
Yeah, we're standing here in the studio, but we've got these two brand new luxury vehicles, a G80 luxury sedan and a GV80 luxury SUV, brand new for 2021 on either side of me.
Wow, that's pretty exciting. Okay, now let's get into this. We are not flying as much. We're not taking public transportation as much. We're driving like crazy. And apparently this trend will go on far beyond what we're going through right now. Am I right in that conjecture?
Yeah, and it's perfect timing. I just was seeing a couple articles in the last couple days that were talking about this topic, and you know, there's been a lot of surveys and people, you know, being asked what do you think about public transportation versus personal transportation, mm-hmm. and owning your own car and driving your own car. And everyone is leaning back toward owning and driving their own car for probably obvious reasons. You know, I think there was a bit of a shock to the system,
yeah.
when everyone realized they didn't want to ride public transportation for various reasons that I think we all know about.
Well, also, cars, again, are becoming quite exciting. For a while, they were just family wood-paneled cabins and then little sedans that you used in order to, you know, for utilitarian purposes. Now we're driving computers, and we're like, feeling really like, I mean, some people go into their cars because it's cabin comfort. It's quieter than their home. It's amazing.
Yeah, I know. And I mean, you think about the term mobile phone, and it's supposed to mean a little handheld thing. And
yes.
Now I feel like call the car the mobile phone, because it's like a smartphone raised up to giant size that you can ride inside of. But it has as much technology going on and as much information as a smartphone used to have.
It's amazing. It's like a tiny little home, only you don't sleep in it. Some people do, unfortunately. But All right, where is technology taking us as far as this is concerned into the next year even?
You know, we keep seeing this trend toward home-based services. We were seeing that even before the pandemic. You know, everyone wants to stay at home and get their food delivered and get their entertainment delivered and never have to leave. And now we're seeing that happening with cars, in that even if you can drive the car whenever you want, if the car could get serviced by you never leaving your house because the car companies come and pick it up and then drop it off for you, that's become a huge trend.
Wow.
You know, Genesis, again, is doing this kind of we come to you process where they actually, for the first 3 years and 36,000 miles, anything you're going to have done to your car,
yes,
they come and get it and then bring it back to you. So you don't even have to leave the house.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow. Huh. What about the actual delivery of cars? I mean, it used to be like before I bought that particular car, I had to test drive that particular car. Is that not the case anymore? Maybe you test drive it somewhere and then you go out and you say, okay, I've driven the car, I like the car, get me another one just like that. I mean, is that what we're doing?
People are still test driving cars, and you really should, because you want to make sure the car works,
yeah,
for you and fits you. But you can do that from home now too. A large chunk of dealers and automakers will work with you to basically do the entire car buying process from home. They'll bring the car to you for a test drive, leave it there for anywhere from an hour to 24 hours, pick it back up when you're done, and then come back out with the car and all the paperwork when you finish the process.
Wow.
So you can do a lot from the home that you used to have to leave to go do.
That's pretty cool. And they usually don't charge you extra for that?
No, that's included. You know, I think that I was told that something like 60% of the dealers for a brand like a luxury brand like Genesis are willing to do everything virtually and not make you come to the dealer.
Wow, it's pretty cool. Well, right now it's the only way they can sell cars. But again, when this is all over, that's going to stay.
That's exactly right, Ron. I mean, that's what I've been saying, is that this was a wake up call to a lot of,
yeah,
possibilities that it was possible to buy a car virtually without actually going to the dealer. That's been around for a couple of years. Now it became the only way to buy a car, and it's not going to contract. I mean, it will go back to people going to dealers to some extent, but we're going to have people who, once they realize this, they're never going to go to the dealer again. They're going to,
yeah,
do it from their house.
So what's the future of automobiles within the next few years? What do you see coming down the line that would excite us?
You know, we've seen this more advanced driver assist, right, where you've got the cars that are smart cruise,
uh-huh,
control. They can drive based on the speed of the cars around them. They can make themselves stay centered in the lanes. You know, they'll tell you things ahead of time. They'll stop in case there's something that pulls in front of you. They have collision alert and all these things. These are all kind of stepping stones toward, of course, the self-driving car.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to just keep seeing more and more advanced driver assist systems,
mm-hmm,
until we have a fully self-driving car. We don't have that now. Some,
mm-hmm,
people act like we do, and they think these systems can already do everything. They cannot.
Yeah.
And it probably won't happen for a couple of years at least, but,
yeah,
we are going to get to self-driving cars eventually.
Have most people expressed to you that the self-driving car is something that they don't want because it takes away from the joy of driving? People love to drive. And that's being taken away to the point where they're just a passenger in a product. Have they expressed that to you?
There has. There's absolutely been concern about that, and I'm a big driving enthusiast myself. So,
mm-hmm,
I feel like when a car only has, you know, has no controls for
yeah,
a human, you get in it and it drives you, and there's not even the option to drive it. It's not a car anymore. It's a transportation.
Correct.
Car, which certain people in certain circumstances, they'll love that.
Yes.
But the other thing you got to remember is, you know, you're on the 405 out here in Los Angeles during rush hour.
Yeah.
You're not. Nobody's driving.
Yeah.
You know, you might be at the controls of the car, but nobody's driving. In that circumstance, I'd love to have the car drive for me, right? Hit a button, and it's steering, and it's braking, and accelerating, and I can relax,
yeah,
because I'm not driving anyway.
I guess if it's a hit a button when you want to do it thing, it's okay. But otherwise,
yeah,
I mean, most people, personality-wise, they like to be in control in a lot of,
exactly,
phases of their life. So
yeah,
it'll be interesting. All right. But I guess cutting down on accidents, because cars can be technologically smarter than people can. I've said that since I was born.
Yeah. And you know, it's funny you say that, because the insurance company has confirmed that the instances of like these low speed sub 10 mile per hour collisions,
yeah,
have really dropped. They've noticed a drop because, yeah, all these systems now, these collision warning systems and all, whether it's the,
uh-huh,
human knowing they're about to hit something and hitting the brakes themselves, or the car stopping on itself.
Yeah.
It's really dramatically cut down these low-speed impacts.
Yeah. Tell me about icecars.com.
RyceyCars.com is a really cool service in that it aggregates all the car listings from all the other sites. Mm-hmm. You know, you can go to a lot of other sites. We know all their names and see listings. But if you go to one of those sites, you're not seeing the listings from the other sites. And you got to hit like five or six of the big ones to make sure you didn't miss anything.
Yeah.
RyceyCars aggregates those all into one location. So people are finding two or three cars on this site or two or three cars on that site. Go to RyceyCars, might find 10 or 11 of that car because they've all been brought together. So it's a great service if you're looking to buy a used car.
Okay, so it's a person-to-car dating service almost.
That's right. It's matched for cars.
Okay, that's cool. All right, so that's where we go for more information, I assume?
Yeah, you can go there, and you can also, on the homepage right now, there's a article about the top 10 automotive technologies for 2021. So you go there, you scroll down a little bit, you'll see it under the studies heading, and you can read all about these technologies that are coming in the next 12 months or are already out there that I think are really important for people to be aware of.
Okay. So it's I See Dead People, and it's also I See Cars. Okay. Well, that's how I remember. That's how I remember.
Yeah,
all right. ICCars.com. That's the letter I and the word C, cars.com. Hey, it's been a pleasure speaking to you, Carl, and thanks for the information. Well, that'll do it for me today. This has been an experience to die for. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. I know. How does he do it? I don't know. But I'm going to do it. So please join me at some point tomorrow, anytime during the day. I'm always sitting here waiting for you to click on me or to listen to your radio, whatever your platform, whatever your transportation mode of listening to the show may be. But until then, oh, you know it. Wear a mask, and I wish you peace. I do. I do. I really do. I wish it for you. By the way, at the end of the show, there are no surveys. We don't call you back to ask you how you like the show, how the show can be any better, because to be honest with you, I don't really want to hear it. Have your opinion. I don't care. Just don't tell other people. Keep it to yourself, and everybody's fine. You know what I'm saying?